Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Second Amendment, which protects our right to bear arms, is a critical amendment to our liberty. No wonder why it's under attack, and no wonder why there's media bias against it. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Mark Logas. He is a political science professor from Valencia Community College in Central Florida in the Orlando area. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Mark.
Glad to be here.
Mark, you've done a lot of research on the right to carry or the right to bear arms protected by the Second Amendment. You know, we have a bumper sticker that says, I second the First. The Second Amendment is very critical to the First Amendment. Without having the people the ability to carry or bear arms, as the Second Amendment says, which is a right that is not created by the Second Amendment, it's a right that's pre-existing, recognized by the Second Amendment, you really have a threat to your liberty. And no wonder why it's under attack today.
There are 62 counties in Colorado, and Colorado passed one of the most stringent bans on guns, the Second Amendment. And what the media doesn't tell you, and what most people don't want you to know, is that over half of the sheriffs in that state are suing, or they are petitioning the state legislature for taking away the right for someone to protect themselves, and have argued that their job, the sheriff's job, is now much more difficult because, let's see, it could take me 20 minutes to get to that out-of-the-place home as opposed to somebody dealing with the situation. So when we get there, we can process, whatever scene we arrive upon. And hopefully it's not the person who was minding their own business at 2:30 in the morning. It will be the perpetrator who made a terrible mistake of wanting to, go into somebody's home when they weren't invited. And so there are many, many cases that are out there right now where you have law enforcement disagreeing with these bans on the Second Amendment because they find them more harmful to people than good.
Well, if you take away the right to carry, the right to bear arms, obviously criminals know that they're the only ones who are going to be armed.
Right.
Whether they come into a house, they know that someone's not going to have their weapons, or if they try to accost you in a parking lot as you're walking from the grocery store at 9 o'clock at night to your car, they know you're not going to be armed, and they're the ones that have the advantage. Every time you take away the people's right to bear arms, you increase the criminal's opportunity to commit assaults or even death against that individual.
Absolutely. I mean, take a look at the shooting in Colorado. There were a couple of Marines, former military, that were in that movie theater. And had they been able to have that weapon that they had to lock inside their vehicle in the parking lot, that whole situation in Colorado would have, with Holmes, would have ended much differently. He had the freedom to walk up in front of that movie theater, in front of the screen, scream whatever it was, fire the gun to put fear in people's lives, and then randomly walk up and down until he was finally stopped with what? A gun. Mm. But not by someone who could have ended it much more quickly, but by law enforcement. The Newtown shooting, I'm so confused when I hear people argue that gun-free zones are the way to go at schools. You know, I'm in favor of having anyone who would like to have a permit go through what Lake County, Florida has proposed. And what they're proposing, or what they proposed and it was voted down, was deputize. Maybe it's an assistant principal, maybe it's a custodian, maybe it's a teacher. Put them through the whole system with the sheriff's office. Let the sheriff's office absorb the cost. So there's no cost to a school board, but put two or three strategic people on a campus. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who they are except the principal. And then you have a situation where, God forbid, you do have a shooting on campus. You have three people who, in a lockbox that only they know where it is, can put an end to it before law enforcement can get there. It makes perfect sense to me. It has never worked where it's tried. You look at the video. I don't know if you remember seeing the video on YouTube. A man walks into the convenience store, and he pulls a gun, and he puts it right into the clerk's face. And this is, again, a returning veteran. And he reaches into his back, pulls his gun out, puts it into the forehead of the perpetrator and encourages him to walk out that store.
Hmm.
All right? There was a man who worked with his uncle in a small convenience store in Seminole County, Florida. It was a Sunday night, 8:30 in the evening, rainy. This guy had a long rap sheet who walked in, put the gun at his chest. I want lottery tickets. I want cigarettes. I want money. The clerk, co-owner of that with his uncle, I believe he was 26 years old, complied with everything and ended up still getting shot in the chest and dying in that very convenience store. And I pass it every day that I go to work. And I think about that, how that there's a vacant building there where a human being lost his life. And so, but Professor, really, see, guns kill. No, I think the media should have to report how many people who are killed in the commission of a felony with a firearm, how many of them owned the gun that they used. Mm. If the media was forced to say, there was a shooting, this person died, the perpetrator, that person did not have a permit to carry. It was a stolen gun, the number was scratched off it, whatever. But you see, the media is part of the problem as well. Newtown is a perfect example. How many different stories came out of Newtown in the beginning? First it was, he walked into the classroom, killed his mother, and then lined the students up against a wall and shot them. Well, mom was killed back at the house. See, the children were not lined up against a wall. They were diving for cover in a bathroom, and they were all found in the same spot. But you see, when government allows that crime scene to be torn down, so the truth about what happened there cannot come out, we as a society, we get lied to a lot, or misrepresentation of the truth is a nicer way of putting it. We cannot form our own fact-based conclusions if the facts are withheld from us and the media bias continues to twist what really has happened in many of these well-known shootings.
I know in one of the situations that happened not long ago in a mall out in the western part of the United States where the shooter ultimately killed people and then committed suicide, one of the things that the media seemed to overlook was that there was a person in the mall that actually drew a gun and pointed it at that individual. That person then withdrew, the shooter withdrew, and ended up committing suicide.
That's correct.
And it's because, and that never made the media.
Nope.
But it was, that person didn't shoot, but they were armed and they had a weapon pointed at him, and that caused this individual to cease what he was doing and take his own life.
Yep.
But you never hear about any of that within the media. You know, there is a convenience store in Central Florida, and a number of years ago, I remember this story of a woman who was working in this convenience store about 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. She disappeared. She wasn't there in the morning. They still, to this day, have never found her body. It's years ago. They did find the dog's track, the scent of the person out into the woods behind the convenience store. And whenever I drive past that convenience store, I always think about that individual. What happened if that woman had been armed?
Right.
She would likely still be alive today.
Very true.
Well, the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. To me, it doesn't sound, Mark, like that is a grant of authority by the government. It says that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Second Amendment is affirming that the federal government, that the government should not infringe on your right to bear arms. Go to Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. You can order the Patriot's Handbook on the right to bear arms. This has the Second Amendment in it, but it also has an amazing presentation, and it is a documentary. It's an overview from 1983, an excerpt from the Senate Judiciary Committee. It is an amazing overview of the history of the Second Amendment. Again, go to lc.org. That's lc.org, and you can order the Patriot's Handbook on the right to bear arms. It's part of the series of the Patriot's Handbooks. We have other Patriot's Handbooks as well. They're pocket-sized, so they're easy to read. They're also easy to carry around. It has the Second Amendment contained in it. But a fascinating read is this excerpt from the 1983 Senate Judiciary Committee publication, and it is entitled The History of the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. It talks about the history of the right to bear arms, different nations and countries attempt to de-arm the people through history and how that history played a role in the founders as they crafted the Second Amendment. They were very familiar with governments threatening the liberty of people. And one of the things that governments had done through history was to disarm the people. They wanted to make sure that the people in America still maintained their right to self-defense and to keep and bear arms so that they could protect their God-given unalienable rights to life and liberty. Go to lc.org for more information.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.